But there's still 10 of us here. We should have sang Hold the Fort, shouldn't we? Praise the Lord. Lord, bless the reading of your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to read, to begin with, a very familiar scripture, Romans 8:28. I imagine you all probably could quote it without even turning to it, but I always like to turn to it. Let our eyes fall upon the scripture, upon the word of God. And this is very familiar. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. We love this verse, don't we?
Amen.
Yes, we love it. It's wonderful, comforting promise for the afflicted. And, of course, we must lay hold of this truth. And you know, it says here, and we know. Well, yes, we know, but all of us have to be reminded again and again and again that God is working, and he's working for our good, and he's working all things for our good.
Yeah.
And you know, he's causing the things that come our way, he's causing them to come our way because he knows what he's working, and he's working them all for our good, together, working together. We easily see God's hand in things when we are experiencing his blessings, and when we realize that how that he goes before us in marvelous ways. But often we fail to see God in the troubles and in the hurts that we experience. Of course, we don't want to suffer any hurts in any manner. And one of the reasons why we fail to see him at those times is because they often come through human instruments. And you know what we're prone to do. Then we're prone to blame the instrument for our troubles. And our focus then is, well, we might say out of focus. It's not focused on faith and in the Lord. And instead, it's focused on somebody's failure or somebody's carelessness or maybe somebody's ignorance. And we might even think sometimes when, oh, you know, sometimes one just thing happens one after the other, or it seems like that three or four things come at us all at one time. We might even think, well, now why did God allow this to happen to me? But we know God's not the author of those things, but he does allow them to come our way, mainly to test our faith. And, you know, we can't be an overcomer unless we have something to overcome. And sometimes we have to think about that. He gives us opportunities, you might say, to overcome, to be an overcomer. When he allows these hard things to come our way, it reminds me in the Old Testament, maybe you remember the story too. There was a man left of the household of Saul that was still alive. Now, not Mephibosheth, I'm not talking about him. But he came out and cursed David, and he threw stones at him and at his David's servants, and also of the people that were with him. We find that story in 2 Samuel, the 16th chapter. And one of David's men asks David permission to take off this man's head. And David's reply is wonderful. He says, let him curse, because the Lord hath bidden him to do so. So see, he was seeing God in the situation. And it says, it may be that the Lord will look upon my affliction and requite me good. In other words, kind of like another word for reward. Requite me good for his cursing this day. So, and then in that, at the end of that narrative, David and all the people, it says, became weary. And they, it says, and they refreshed themselves. And don't we become weary when we're in trial? We do. We just have to admit it, that we do. We get weary. And we need to refresh ourselves in the Lord and seeking his comfort. And, you know, we know another thing. We know God's over everything. And he knows what he's doing. And it is for our ultimate good. David, in his submission, in saying, let him curse, you know, he was trusting God. And he was seeing God, that God allowed it. Well, we also need to come to that place in these hard times to say to the Lord, thy will be done. That submission, that humility, that we want the Lord's will. And sometimes we don't know what his will is, but we can say, we want your will. You know what's best. And there is a comfort. There is even a sweetness while that we are wounded when we trust the Lord in those troubling times. And if we only see our trials that they are afflicted by some man, you know what happens to us? We become bitter. That's not good for us. Yes, we become bitter. And we don't want to give Satan any credit whatsoever, but receive everything from the Lord. I truly realize it more today than I realized it when I was growing up, but I truly was blessed to be raised in the household where my grandmother lived. She lived with our family. And she was with us all the time, night and day. And I was blessed by the fact that she saw God in everything, the good times and the bad times. She would see God's hand in it. And I think back now and I think, what a blessing that was to see her attitude and how she looked at things and how she approached things. I really believe that was a blessing. And you know, we need to look for God in everything. Not just the blessings that come our way, but the troubles that come our way. To look for God's hand in it. Let's turn to 1 Peter and the 4th chapter. First Peter 4, I'm going to start with the 12th verse. I think I'm going to read to the end of the chapter. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice. Now this is when you're trusting the Lord, that we can rejoice. Rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceedingly joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or an evildoer or a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come when judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Now, isn't that a wonderful way to look at it? Yes. Just commit the keeping of our souls. Keep our ways unto him. He's a faithful creator. Everything that comes to God's children comes from the Father's hand. No matter who may be the apparent agent that brought it our way. I'm not going to turn there, but in Matthew, the 10th chapter, we read Jesus' words there, and he says, "Our Father knows when one sparrow falls to the ground. Fear not, for you are more valued than many sparrows." Yes, praise the Lord. He knows when just one sparrow falls to the ground. Let's turn to Philippians 4:6. Philippians, some of these are very familiar scriptures, but sometimes we, just like I said before, we need to be reminded. And in Philippians 4 and in verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing." In other words, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Yes, don't be anxious about anything, but bring it to God in prayer. And, of course, accompanied with thanksgiving. And one may say, "Well, now, how can we do that?" I'm going to go back to Peter, and this time, 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter, the fifth chapter, and the 7th verse. Another very familiar scripture. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." That's good for us to be reminded. Yes, cast our care upon him. He cares for us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm going to also read in Romans, the 12:19. If you don't want to turn there, just listen to this. 12:19. "Dearly beloved," you know, he's speaking to all the believers. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.'" Well, our old nature, we want to get even, don't we? And we want the one that has hurt us to be hurt. But praise the Lord. Don't give place to wrath. "Vengeance," the Lord says, "is mine. I will repay." But, you know, the Lord's going to take care of it. Sometimes we don't see it right away. We may have to wait. But then later, we can look back and we can realize, well, the Lord took care of that. I just needed to wait, and I got pretty anxious. We don't even have to defend ourselves. That's one of the things that I think Jack and I have experienced being pastors and in the ministry, because there are things that happen, things that are said, and I'll have to say the Lord has blessed this meeting wonderfully, but these things have happened. We don't even have to defend ourselves. Just talk to the Lord and wait. He takes care of it. Praise the Lord. And he causes the truth to come out. And that's a marvelous thing that we have experienced, and I thank the Lord for it. Well, also in Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews 13. 13 and verses 5 and 6. Well, I don't think I have the right one. Oh, yes, all right. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Another wonderful verse. Praise the Lord. I think we have to be reminded so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And I wrote down also Romans 8. Romans 8, and starting with verse 31. I have some verses to read here. Also, I'm pretty sure you're all very familiar with them, but you know, it is good that our minds are freshly anointed with the word. Verse 31 of Romans 8, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? My, what a verse to contemplate on. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is it? Is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. How? Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life or death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah, that's what we started with. Romans 8:28. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah 43, I'm not going to turn there, but the Lord says there, the Lord God says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And it goes on, there's more to that verse, but that's the part I wanted. I will be with thee. And we just read, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, he was with Joseph when he was sold as a slave. He was with Daniel in the lion's den. He was with the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. He was with Paul and Silas when they were cast into prison. And we read also in Psalms 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Praise the Lord. He knows our hurt. He's our refuge. He's our strength. All things are under his control. Nothing can touch us except what God allows. And that's just proof that he is working in our lives, and he's working all things together for our good. And you know, even when God corrects us, he corrects us when, like say, when we yield to the flesh, we need correction. And he corrects us. We read in Hebrews 12:6, he corrects us. Why? Yes, because he loves us. Because he loves us. He knows what's best for us. We think we know, and boy, we can be so wrong. You think about Joseph when he was sold for a slave. You know, God used the sins of Joseph's brothers to work good for Joseph. It didn't happen overnight, though, did it? No. And even the sins of others that we are in contact with, he will work it for our good. Praise the Lord. Well, I have one more scripture. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 4. I keep turning past it. Turn past it one way and turn past it the other way. 2 Corinthians 4, and I'm going to read verse 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Did you notice that word, working for us? It worketh for us. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So if the unpleasant comes our way, may we have faith to accept it as from the Lord. Back to thinking about my grandmother. Her whole life, she was raised and lived only in the Quindaro area of Kansas City, Kansas. She knew no other place. That's all she was familiar with. And she wasn't about to leave there. That was, her whole life had been there. And here she was in her 80s. And the Lord allowed a man to break into the house. And he shot her with some kind of a, what do you call it? A pellet gun. And when my mother called me and said, Grandma had been shot, I just lost it. But it was a pellet gun. It wasn't with a bullet. But still, she had to be taken to the hospital. But, you know, she hadn't been willing to move from there. And they were in it had become a dangerous area. It didn't used to be when we grew up, but it became that way. And she saw the hand of the Lord in it. And she said, the Lord caused that to happen, caused me to be wounded, so I would be willing to come down here to Wichita. That's what we were wanting them to do, was to move down here. And she said, the Lord had allowed that. She immediately saw the Lord's hand in it. And praise the Lord. The Lord did give her that willingness of spirit then to come here. And then, you know, when we have that kind of victory, when we see God's hand in the things that are against us, we can thank him that it's his will and that we have overcome when we trust him. We can thank him And God is glorified in it. It's not only working good for us, but he is glorified. Yes. And his will is sweet, whether it's in joy or whether it's in sorrow. If it's his will, it is sweet. We can have rest and joy in our spirit, even at the most difficult times. Well, the Lord is our shepherd, isn't he? Yeah. He's our shepherd, and he leads us to green pastures and to refreshing waters. And as we read in 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. There's no other victory like that concerning mankind or believers even. Praise the Lord. He always causes us to triumph in Christ as we look to him, believe him, and trust him. And I, you know, sometimes some things happen that I don't like that have happened. And, you know, I'm prone to think, oh, now, what can I do? What can I do? And that's, you know, that's not the right attitude at all. I think I've got to take it into my hands and do something. But praise the Lord if we just put it into his hands. Amen. And then praise the Lord. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. Well, that's all I have tonight. All right.